Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. The face of the world is changing figuratively and literally. Makeovers in the human realm is the order of the day. Extreme makeovers, in fact. French doctors announced this week that they had successfully transplanted a partial human face. The donor was an unidentified brain-dead woman. The surgical team who performed the operation said it far surpassed its expectations. Isabel Denori, 38, lost her chin, lips, and part of her nose when she was mauled by her dog at home in Valenciennes, northern France. The operation was very involved. In addition to the skin, her surgeons restored veins, arteries, muscles, nerves. Her extreme makeover grew out of necessity, though. But there are several people, even in view of that, who are contending that French doctors violated ethical codes in performing the surgery. People around the world are getting extreme makeovers just to improve their physical image when they haven't been mauled by a dog or anything else. And as the physical face of the U.S. changes, so does its moral and spiritual climate. There seems to be no end to the depravity that pulls us in a downward spiral into the pits of moral deprivation. In a global festival on AIDS held December the 1st, 2005 in Buenos Aires, promoters fitted a giant condom over a giant obelisk downtown. Supposedly, that if all of those who are engaging in sexual activity would use a condom, the AIDS problem would be solved. But is that really the case? As you may or may not know, the phallus is a pagan fertility symbol that is represented by this giant condom. It is a symbol of generation, virility, and aggression. The obelisk was originally created in ancient Egypt as a symbol of the male phallus and has been worshipped as such by secret societies ever since. Satanists believe that the spirit of the Egyptian sun god Rhea resides within the obelisk, and they pray to it daily three times, if possible, facing the east. The Israelites of old worshipped the obelisk as part of their pagan magical rites, but God condemned that we should learn the ways of the heathen. He says, in fact, that we are not to learn the ways of the heathen. As the world observes International AIDS Day, Sir Elton John, he's called Sir because he was knighted by the Queen of England, announced that he is going to marry his partner, David Furnish. They are seeking a, quote, suitable venue for the wedding. The world is being continually warned about various diseases, AIDS, of course, being the principal one, and now there is all of the news about avian flu. There is concern that avian flu might become pandemic. In Jakarta, the Indonesian capital, officials said that it was very serious there. One official said that the virus had spread all over the city, and there were recent reports that there were new cases. Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger reorganized his internal staff this week. You remember that he's a Republican and supposedly a conservative, was supported by many of the conservatives in his race for governor against Democratic Governor Ray Davis. He appointed a liberal Democratic activist who is strongly pro-abortionist and who is a lesbian. The abortion issue continues to rage on the national scene, once again reaching the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is hearing a case whether or not minors have to get the consent of their parents to get an abortion in the state of New Hampshire. Also, with regard to abortion, United Kingdom doctors announced that at least 50 fetuses, as they like to call them, have survived abortion attempts in recent years. Apparently, some of the doctors did not do as they are supposed to do to inject a deadly chemical in the brain of the fetus to make sure it's dead before it's born. How much more brutal can we get? And yet, at the same time, we talk about continually, our politicians do, about human rights. The question of the death penalty rages again as a murderer was put to death recently in North Carolina. He had been on death row for 17 years. And then a deadly gang member who killed several people or involved in killing several people in California is fighting for a stay of execution. Tukey Williams, as he is called, has spent nearly a quarter of a century in San Quentin. He has written several children's books warning against gang life and other issues. He's helped broker gang treaties, and his supporters have nominated him for a Nobel Peace Prize. And there's even a TV movie about Williams' jailhouse conversion. And the governor has not made a decision whether or not he's going to grant a stay of execution. He is going to hold a hearing this week on the matter. The abolition question continues to be debated as Americans are more and more siding with those who believe that humans are the product of an unexplainable evolutionary process. And they say, well, you cannot mix church and state in state-supported schools, so you are free to teach the quote, so-called scientific explanation for the origin of human life, but you cannot teach anything that has, quote, religious overtones as an explanation for the origin of life. The face of the world is changing in the geopolitical arena as well. The nation and the world is perhaps more divided than it has ever been on about every social, geopolitical, and moral issue that you can name. The question of the war in Iraq rages. As a Democratic House member, John Murther of Pennsylvania, says that the soldiers in Iraq are battle-weary, tired, beaten down, living hand-to-mouth, and must come home. At the same time, our president, the commander-in-chief, is trying to rally the country to support total victory in Iraq. And on the heels of all the bad news for the president came report, the White House and a senior Republican lawmaker expressed concern on Thursday about secret military payments to get Iraqi newspapers to print pro-American articles. And that has been the case, that U.S. troops and Operation Task Force have written articles with positive messages about the U.S., about their mission in Iraq, and they've been translated into English and Arabic and planted in Iraqi newspapers in return for money. The Pentagon defends that, saying that it is what you do in the time of war that your side of the story must be told. But politicians are jumping on everything that they possibly can, and as they jump on everything that they possibly can, it creates more division and chaos and confusion among the peoples in America, and it serves us no good. And more bad news for Republicans, as Randy Duke Cunningham, a Republican congressman from California, resigned Monday after admitting he took $2.4 million in bribes from defense contractors in exchange for getting steering government business their way. And at the same time, the barbarians continue to press against our will and ability to resist the onslaught. We have lost and we're losing our identity of who we are, what we are, and what is our mission. Have you lost your identity? Do you know who you are, and what your great purpose is? You were born to become a great and beautiful shining gem in the family of God, a son or daughter of God in God's eternal family. In view of the changing face of the world, we really need to wake up and understand what God's purpose is, who God is, what God is, who man is, and what is his purpose, and understand that God's great purpose is to bring sons and daughters to glory in his family. International pressure continued to mount against Iran this past week, and in view of that, Vladimir Putin fired the Russian nuclear energy minister, a man who had resisted any Russian plan to give Iran more technology. Alexander Ramyantsev, head of the Russian Agency for Atomic Energy, the past 4 years, was suddenly fired by Putin with no explanation given for his firing. And he was replaced by Sergei Kiryenko, who has no experience in the nuclear energy field. Ramyantsev, who is Jewish, was also trusted by Israeli officials. concerned with Iran's nuclear activities. U.S. and Israeli officials fear that Ramyantsev's dismissal means that Putin is reviving Moscow's nuclear relations with Iran and may be contemplating putting them on a less restricted basis. It was also announced in recent days that Russia is selling surface-to-air missiles to Iran. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon resigned from the Likud party and started a new party, Kidma, meaning forward with the quartet's roadmap for peace, the quartet being the European Union, the United Nations, Russia, and the United States. That's the quartet, and Sharon is in league with them, following that so-called roadmap to peace in the Middle East. Shimon Peres, former five-time prime minister, including acting prime minister at times, has retired from the Knesset and the Labor Party in exchange for Peres' support for Ariel Sharon's Kadima Party. Sharon has promised him a senior ministry portfolio in the event that Sharon forms the next government. The Likud party that Sharon resigned from has many religious zealots who believe that Israel should not yield an inch of land for peace. So Sharon's move might place their future in great jeopardy. Little time is left, according to the Haaretz News, December the 1st, 2005, for diplomatic efforts aimed at halting Iran's nuclear drive. In a quote by Major General Aharon Zevi, the Ministry of Intelligence in Israel, he says, quote, if Iran is still working on producing nuclear weapons by March, then the diplomatic efforts to halt Tehran's efforts to achieve nuclear capability will have failed. In other words, the Israelis are beginning now to set some sort of a deadline and saying, if this problem is not solved by the international community come springtime, then we are going to have to take more dramatic action. He goes on to say, if by the end of March 06, the international community does not manage to use diplomatic means to block Iran's efforts to produce a nuclear bomb, there will no longer be any reason to continue diplomatic activity in this field, and it will be possible to say that the international attempts to thwart Iran's efforts have failed. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the changing face of the world and the United States and individuals. If you would really like to stay abreast of what is happening in this world today, then you need to subscribe to our free publication, The Good News Magazine, a magazine of understanding that will help you understand and cope with, prepare for, be educated on the great issues that are facing humankind at the present time. We will give you a free subscription to The Good News Magazine. All you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. At the same time, we will send you our free article, Are We Living in the Last Days? As you see, the face of the world changing, as we have enumerated several areas in the first segment of our program, the face of the world is indeed changing from the individual level to the international level. You need to understand the times in which we are living, to discern the times, to be really abreast of the times, to be apprised of what is going on. This article will help you in that. And in addition to that, we will also send you a free Bible study course that will take you through the Bible in 12 beautifully designed lessons from Genesis to Revelation. Once again, to receive all the free literature, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, the toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. We have seen in the first segment of the program that the face of the world is changing. from face transplants to the transplant of the moral condition of the peoples of the United States, and that moral condition of the peoples of the United States is being spread to the other nations through the various media. In addition to that, the geopolitical situation is changing, and the world is entering into a stage and a state of tension that is never known before. In view of Iran's recent belligerence and the events that are going on there, Prime Minister Sharon stressed that Israel doesn't lead the struggle to keep Iran nuclear-free, and he hoped the UN Security Council would neutralize this great danger. So Israel is appealing to the international community, but at the same time saying if the international community doesn't take action, and if the diplomatic channels are exhausted by springtime, we may have to take matters into our own hands. Sharon's comments raise Israel's rhetoric against Iran and came on the heels of assessment by the Israeli Defense Force brass that after March, diplomatic efforts to curtail Iran's nuclear program will be pointless. Israel is not without hope and is taking all necessary measures, as it should, he went on to say. Perhaps the most sobering and startling statement by a national figure was made a few days ago by former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. The threat posed to the national security of the United States by Iran was likened by Gingrich to the one posed by Nazi Germany in the 1930s. Gingrich made the stunning statements, which echo warnings of other congressional leaders and national security experts, in testimony before a subcommittee of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee last week. He said that Tehran could be planning for a preemptive nuclear electromagnetic pulse attack on America that would turn a third or more of the country back to a 19th century level of development. National security experts and scientists commissioned by Congress to study the threat of electromagnetic pulse attacks on the U.S. concluded that Iran was preparing for such a scenario. Gingrich says, quote, a nuclear-tipped intermediate-range Iranian missile launched from a merchant ship off the coast of the United States could do just that. The threat is compounded by recent disclosures by the International Atomic Energy Agency that Iran is in non-compliance with its treaty obligations against developing nuclear weapons. Gingrich went on to say that this is not idle speculation, but taken from the consensus findings of 9 distinguished scientists who authored the report of the commission to assess the threat to the United States from electromagnetic pulse attack, which was delivered to the Congress on June the 22nd, 2004, the same day the 9/11 commission report was published. Gingrich pointed out that such a sneak attack, especially if launched from a merchant ship at sea, could have the added benefit of deniability by Iran. They could say, well, anybody did it or somebody else did it. Gingrich's warning is in sync with what several people are saying about scalar technology and or electronic magnetic pulse technology. In January of 1960, 43 years ago, Nikita Khrushchev announced to the Presidium, we have a new weapon just within the portfolio of our scientists, so to speak, which is so powerful that if unrestrainedly used, it could wipe out all life on Earth. It is a fantastic weapon, end of quote. The Russians have not yet revealed that weapon, but developed it in secret and tested it in secret to see if the West could understand what was going on. Whether the U.S. has discovered the weapon yet is not known. In 1997, 37 years after Khrushchev had announced their discovery of a new weapon, U.S. Defense Secretary William Cohen gave a warning suggesting that the U.S. had finally understood the nature and power of the weapon. He warned about eco-terrorism using scalar electromagnetic weapons. Quote, this is a quote from William Cohen. In 1997, other terrorists are engaging even in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So they are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon the nations. It's real, and that's the reason why we have to intensify our counterterrorism efforts. And breaking news shows a military transport slamming into a 10-story apartment building in Iran, killing 128 people. All 94 passengers on board were killed. 84 of the passengers were journalists on the way to cover military maneuvers in the south in Iran. What does this show? This shows how seriously Iran is taking its current military buildup. The military was making sure that journalists would be on hand to observe the action and report it to the international community. It becomes more and more apparent that 2006 will see great turmoil on the world scene. On any front you want to name, the face of the U.S. and the face of the world is changing. But as the face of the world is changing more rapidly than any other period in human history, we have our heads buried in the sand. And through our actions, we proclaim that all things continue as from the beginning, that my Lord delays his coming. In short, we are fiddling while Rome burns. Are we any less guilty than Nero? Recently, a giant monetary reward was posted for anyone who could present a satisfactory strategy for stabilizing the situation in the major trouble spots in Iraq. Can the problems that beset our nation and world be solved through military and political strategies and diplomacy? It seems the more guns we fire and the more ambassadors we send abroad, the worse the situation becomes. The peoples of the world believe in all kinds of spiritual phenomena, spiritual masters, mediums, wizards, magicians, ghosts, astrologers, ad infinitum. Over 90% of the people in the United States profess a belief in God. But God is left out of the equation when it comes to solving all the problems that beset humankind. It seems the world is bent on discovering ways that will allow the peoples of the world to flaunt the immutable spiritual laws of God without having to pay the consequences. But no branch of science or school of politics will ever solve the problems that currently plague humankind. When all is said and done, our problems are spiritual, and spiritual problems require spiritual solutions. But the world seems to be hopelessly divided over whose God they're going to seek for spiritual help. Politicians, in their quest to be politically correct, they try to please and appease all religious persuasions, attempting to put all religions on an equal footing. The attempt to please and appease all results in a neutral blend of nothingness that no one can identify with except the retailers who cash in on the commercialization of all the holidays. This pleasing and appeasing extends from the highest levels of government to local communities to college campuses. For example, a leader at Auburn University is calling on her student government to reclaim a recently dubbed holiday tree as a Christmas tree. The Alabama schools has lit a Christmas tree at the beginning of December for the past 25 years, but this year a press release announced the lighting of a holiday tree. The reason given for renaming the tree Holiday instead of Christmas tree is that Christmas, they say, is an exclusive term, whereas holiday is inclusive. I cite this as an example. The truth is that many of the holidays that are observed originated in paganism and should not be observed in any form. For example, note what God says about a decorated tree in Jeremiah 10 and verse 3. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with an axe. They deck it with silver, with gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not, they must needs to be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do any evil, neither also it is in them to do any good. Sure sounds like a Christmas tree to me. And God goes on to proclaim through Jeremiah, for as much as there is none like unto you, O Eternal, you are great, your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of Nations? So don't be dismayed at those kind of things. Worship and trust the true God. Read the first 10 verses of Jeremiah chapter 10 for yourself. The true God is the God of the Bible, and that is the principal reason an all-out attack has been launched against the Bible. The Bible is under attack because it is the source of true spiritual knowledge, and true spiritual knowledge must be revealed. It must come from God. Note what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God, working in concert with the Word of God, reveals the very mind and will of God. If you want to really know the truth, and the truth is the only thing that can set you free, then you have to open the pages of your Bible and see for yourself. When the barbarians are beating on the door, we must turn to Almighty God. We must regain our identity. We can regain our identity by opening the pages of the Bible. This may sound too simplistic to you, and some might laugh at this. If our president were to follow a similar strategy, that is, of calling for prayer in the White House, which apparently they do have prayer in the White House, but on a national basis. If he were to go before Congress and challenge the congressmen and women to get down on their knees and pray right there that the nation would be spared, he would be laughed to scorn. The politicians would be rolling in the aisles, as it were, figuratively speaking. This is how far people have changed their faces. They have indeed allowed themselves to become a victim of an extreme makeover. What will we be known for? Will we be known for exporting all kinds of filth and ugliness to the rest of the world through decadent entertainment? Or will we be identified as the ones who divorce themselves from all this evil and turn to Almighty God? So what about you? Would you like to change the face of your countenance today? God can give you a facial facelift, and He will continue to fashion you into a beautiful jewel that will shine in eternity. Here's the quick recipe, Acts 3:19. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And in Isaiah 64 and verse 8, here's what we need to do. We need to surrender and submit to the Master Potter, and He will make us over. We all need the Master Potter. But now, Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay, and You are Potter, and we are all the work of Your hand. Be sure to be tuned to World News and Prophecy at this same time next week. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, the Good News Magazine, free Bible study course, Are We Living in the Last Days? All you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614. And until next time, this is Donald Ward for World News and Prophecy.